Hello, everyone. Today is July 22nd. This is a continuation meeting of the July 8th KPFK Finance Committee meeting to continue work on the budget. It is 3:11. I am Kim Kaufman, the chair, and I'm going to call roll. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Kim Aaron?
Here.
Alan Beek?
Here.
Fred Blair?
Present.
Bella DeSoto? Not here yet. Dave Johnson?
I'm here.
Steve Kaiser? Not here yet. Kim Kaufman? I am here. Michael Novick? Not here. Janine Rome, not here. Paulina Vasiliev?
Present.
Okay, we have quorum. And Barry Brooks, the business manager, is on the line. So I sent out the budget with my comments on it. Did everybody receive that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I got it. Looking at it.
Okay, good. We'll get there in a minute. I have a few general questions from looking at stuff. First of all, Barry, does KPFK have a Wells Fargo bank account?
No, we do not, but the Pacifica Radio Archive does.
Pacifica Archives does. Okay, but why?
Their operating account is Wells Fargo.
Okay, so why is that on our general ledger?
Where do you see it on the general ledger?
Bunch of places.
Oh, okay. I think in the past, KPFK at one time had a Wells Fargo account, but no longer.
Well, it hasn't had one in over 10 years.
Right. I think originally, yeah, way back when, I guess in the early 2000s, they were bank Fargo, yeah.
Well, why is it still on our general ledger with active transactions?
Where do you see that? I don't know what you're looking at.
Well, I'll send you what I have kind of seen. I put it aside. I can send you that. I mean, are you aware that there's stuff on the general ledger?
As far as I'm concerned, I have never had any kind of relation with Wells Fargo, okay?
Well, it sure looks like there's $100,000 in that account and that stuff has been going in there.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, because I have never seen it. Maybe it's the national office. I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, KPFK does not have a business relationship with Wells Fargo.
Well, then it's a mystery on our general ledger. It's a big mystery that I'd like cleared up. I mean, you can search on your general ledger for Wells, even though it's spelled a number of different ways, spelled a couple of different ways in there, you know, like typos, but well, I get a minute. I will send it out what I've found. It doesn't make sense. So what are the WBAI charges on our general ledger, like Braintree and other WBAI charges?
Let's see. Hold on a minute here. Okay, Braintree is the source in which they collect.
Say that again?
I said Braintree. Are you talking about Braintree funding?
Yeah.
Okay, they collect credit card payments for us, and then they charge us back a fee for collecting the credit card payments.
For WBAI?
Yes, but they do it for WBAI and KPFK. Yes, that's correct.
Well, I'm confused. Why are we collecting credit card for WBAI?
Kim, this is John. I just came in for quorum. I just got the call from Fred. I had a person stop by just a moment ago.
Okay, thank you. We did make quorum. Paulina popped on, but we're happy to have you. I'm just asking a few general questions before we get into the budget. So I don't understand.
Sure.
Why are we collecting credit card fees for WBAI?
WBAI sometimes makes contributions to KPFK, and sometimes their contribution is returned because of non-sufficient funds, so they charge us back on our bank account.
Does this make sense to anybody? Does anybody understand this? Because I'm not. Anybody?
This is Dave.
I think he just said that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, Barry, could you explain that one more time, how we would get involved in having those WBAI Braintree figures on our account? You said something about how...
Yes. Somehow another WBAI listeners makes contributions to KPFK. And so when it comes through, it hits our bank account as a deposit on KPFK. And it'll be described as WBAI radio donation. And they're very small amounts. It's like $15, $10, or $25. And sometimes those amounts are returned because of NSF or because they didn't have the money in the account. And so they recharge it back to us as a return.
Well, John, you're in the queue?
Go ahead.
How can WBAI put money into our account when they don't have money in their account from which to transfer into our account?
They do have money in their account. They have money in accounts too. They're functioning like KPFK. They may not have as much as money as we do, but they do have bank accounts.
So they transfer in the $10. Now we have the $10, and then we've got it. So we just don't let it go back. We just say, well, you gave it to us. It's our $10. We're keeping it. Thank you for the donation. I don't see how they can take it back later on after they made a cash donation. I mean, a donation with a financial transfer.
But it comes through Braintree. It comes through Braintree WBAI.
Okay, can I say something, please?
Sure.
Braintree is a division of PayPal.
Okay.
So PayPal...
It's just a credit card delivery service.
Correct. So PayPal may have... If we're using the same EIN number... as WBAI, Braintree may be getting confused, or...
Then we'd be getting all that stuff from all the other stations. Well, this doesn't make sense to me, Grace.
No, I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just trying to explain what Braintree is.
We understand what Braintree is. It's our delivery service of credit card fees. We get it tons, you know, for all our other credit cards. Stuff. I just don't understand.
Point of clarification, Kim. Cool. Is this number you're talking about, is this in the general ledger or in the budget that we were given?
Oh, it's in the general ledger. Yeah, it doesn't show up on our budget. It's just transactions that I've seen looking through it.
I have
Ken standing right here, and other people may not realize that Braintree is part of PayPal.
Okay, so what?
You know it, but that doesn't mean that everybody else in this committee is aware of that. I just wanted to give that information.
Okay, we've heard explanations, months ago that we were switching one credit card delivery to Braintree. So at least I was familiar with Braintree. We've heard this, that this is our credit card delivery. Whatever. Okay, we can't answer that today. Let's move on. Now I just want to ask this, because it's sort of, I don't get it. Remember the Don Buscemi request? In the general ledger and in the P&L, it says that the bequest was for $351,348, but the bank deposit is $352,419. There's a difference of over $1,000. How does this happen?
Barry?
Yeah, that happens because when we make deposits, the membership combines all the deposits in one batch. So they're the ones that code, Donna and Terry, actually Donna Walker is the ones that code the check. And she might have had like another $1,000 check and she added on to the $350,000 check. So that's how that
happens. No. It came directly into the bank at $352 from Morgan Stanley.
What bank? You talking about Bank of America? Because I only correspond with Bank of America, okay?
Yes, Bank of America. There's a deposit from from Morgan Stanley for $352. In the general ledger, $351. I checked. There's only that transaction in that batch number.
Okay. Well, I don't know about that. Usually, I don't even believe that check was for $350,000 even anyway. I think it was $351,000 and some change, if I recall.
$351,348.78 is in the general ledger. The bank deposits
yeah,
is $352,419.
That gentleman had an account at J.P. Morgan account, and that's what the check was written on.
I understand. It came. That's where it came from, into the Bank of America. The general ledger shows, $1,000 less.
I'd have to look at that.
Okay. So Donna Walker does the coding?
Yes, she does.
All righty then. Okie doke. Okay.
She does the coding for the deposit.
Yeah, okay.
This is Ken. Let me interrupt a second. I'd like to make note that Kim discovered a $1,000 discrepancy and a deposit and what showed up in the general ledger. That's very significant. So we have to have a report on that immediately. It's not like, it could be going on all over the place for quite a while. So if it's an accounting error, whatever it is, we have to have a report on that.
Absolutely.
Well, when are we going to get that and who are you going to send it to? What's the timeline? Discover what it is.
I'll probably have the answer by tomorrow, and I'll send it to.
Okay, can you send it in writing in an email to Kim Kaufman?
I'll send it. Yeah, send it to me, and I'll send it out to everyone.
It's not a ho-hum thing. It's got to be addressed immediately. And I still don't understand. Maybe because I'm not hearing it correctly. It was a transfer from Morgan Stanley or something like that, but. Where did the money come from? What's the source of the income?
Well, Morgan Stanley. It came from Morgan Stanley into the Bank of America, bank. It's on the bank statement from Morgan Stanley.
But why? Who gave us? It was 300.
That was Don Buscemi. That was the Don Bastani bequest.
Oh, the Don Bastani bequest. Okay, thank you. That's all.
Michael, let me join the call. Sorry to be late.
What? Did somebody say something? Somebody...
I'm sorry. I had myself muted. Barry, when you send the report to Kim, would you copy the treasurer, myself?
Sure.
I know I'll get the, when Kim sends it out to the committee, I'll get a copy, but I'd just like to be formally in the loop. That's it.
So let me ask another question. Who gets the checks from the lockbox, and who codes and deposits them? Is that Donna?
Yes, Donna is the one that gets the money through the mail, the regular mail, and also she coordinates the lockbox deposit.
Okay. So she gets the checks from the lockbox, brings them back to the station and codes them, and then deposits them?
No, the checks come in, and then she sends them out to the lockbox.
Some so checks, what's the point of sending them to the lockbox if they come to the station first?
I don't know. You'd have to ask her. I think because some of the ones are pretty large checks sometimes. I remember we got a $10,000 check, and she told me she sent that to the lockbox. So if you look on the bank statement, there is a category called lockbox deposit.
Oh, I'm very well aware of that lockbox. I just didn't think it worked like that. yeah, okie doke.
Kim, could I ask a question here that's relevant? My understanding was the whole purpose of the lockbox is that people would send the checks to our post office box, and the bank would recover those and do all the processing for us. In other words, the lockboxes were paying the bank for processing the checks and then sending us a report with how much each check was, you know, how much it was in each check that they processed, and we get the lumps. We would then get a lump sum from them. But you're saying that some checks bypass the PO box and go come to the station and have to be sent to the bank. In any case, is that correct, Barry?
Yes, that's correct. Because I remember in the past week she got a large check and she said she sent it to the lockbox. So, because a number of times, you know, we make a deposit like once a week, and I'll walk the deposit into the bank.
I'm just not sure why Donna Walker does the coding and not you.
Because I don't get the checks. I'm not getting the checks are not coming to me. They're coming to her. And she's the one that's sorting the mail and getting all the checks related to deposits for KPFK.
But the Don Bastani money came directly into the Bank of America. I'm not sure why Donna Walker would have anything to do with that and entering it into the GL.
She doesn't enter it into the GL. She codes it, I told you.
From the bank statement?
From the check, whatever the check is involved.
Well, we didn't get a check. It was deposited directly into Bank of America.
Did it say deposit or did it say lockbox deposit?
It said deposit.
Okay, then that means it was walked in. If it's a deposit, if it just says deposit, that means the check or the deposit was walked into the bank.
So it wasn't transferred directly from Morgan Stanley?
Correct.
Well, then how does the number get into the GL?
It gets put in by entering it into the GL.
Who enters that in the GL?
That would be me.
Okay. Okay.
Barry, when you say Donna Walker codes, what is she coding? She's coding the general ledger, or is she coding the membership department?
Yes. No, she's coding the general ledger.
She's putting
ledger.
Down the appropriate general ledger account for that revenue.
Does coding mean enters? And we're saying coding.
No, it means giving it a general ledger code number as to what category goes in.
So it means categorization. It's categorization code.
Right. It's how that deposit last year, that bequest of $100,000 wound up on the wrong line. It should have gone into major donor, and it went into minor donor.
Yeah,
I guess I don't know. I reclass that.
The major donor.
Yeah, you're not supposed to go back and reclass stuff the year before, Barry.
Yes, I can. I can do that as long as we're not being under audit. I can do that.
Absolutely, you can do it, but we are under audit. They are. George Walker has been working on 2019 for at least 6 months.
We have not closed 2018 yet. Kim.
Okay. Let's move on.
I'm sorry. We closed 2018. PMB approved the audit of 2018.
This is Ken. I just ask a little stickler of a question. Is Donald Walker? Don, can I ask a question? This is Ken.
Yeah.
Can I?
Yes.
Okay. Is Donald Walker a paid employee? I thought she was a volunteer.
Oh,
or
no,
maybe a contractor. She gets contracted on certain things.
She's been in membership for how long? I don't know, a year or two.
Oh, so she's on membership staff. Okay. Thank you.
This is Dave with a question.
I'm sorry. This is Michael to the stack also.
Okay. First Dave, then Michael.
Okay, Barry. Oh. So just to clarify, what we're talking about is the difference between checks going directly to our bank, B of A, where we never touch them and B of A receives them. Is that correct? Versus a check that shows up in the front office and that we then have to handle a different way. I mean, does that happen? And can you explain the two different ways we would handle those deposits?
Yeah. There are people who make deposits like yourself. Like if I were to write a check for $100 to KPFK and I mailed it in, it would go right into the station, and then Donna sorts the mail and she gets the check. And then at the end of the week, we make a walk-in deposit to Bank of America. Now, there are some checks that come in via the lockbox. We have a lockbox and it's deposited directly into the lockbox. So the KPFK doesn't see it. We don't see it until it hits on the bank account through the lockbox.
Okay.
So
and
ways of what depositing would, the money.
I'm sorry. What would be the circumstance where checks would go directly to the lockbox? Are these, well, maybe you could just explain how that happens versus checks being mailed to the station, because I kind of thought that when we set up the lockbox, it was to eliminate the possibility of checks coming to KPFK. Would it be correct to say that people still mail some to our actual street address? Is that why we have to do it two different ways?
Right. They mail the check in via our lock. We have a lockbox set up. So, yeah, it comes in that way. Actually, the majority of the checks come in through our lockbox. We only make, like, four deposits in a month for the walk-in.
A point of information.
Dave, you came on late. What he means to say, and I'm sorry for interceding, the checks are sent to a P.O. box, and the Bank of America has access. They get the mail from the P.O. box, and they deposit the checks. That's the lockbox process.
That's correct. Yes. You're correct, Ken.
A point of information?
I just wanted to confirm how we handle checks or what the circumstances were of us getting checks mailed to the actual station and not going to the P.O. box. That's what I wanted the clarification on, Ken.
All right, so John Wenger has a point of information, and then Michael Novick's on the staff.
Yeah, when we set up the lockbox, it was for cash.
Situations. I'll put you on the stack after Novick. That's not a point of information, really.
Okay,
I mean, you want to be on the stack.
Kim, I was asking to be on the queue for like five or six times. I never got acknowledged.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Let him go ahead. That's fine.
Wenger, yeah. Go ahead, then Novick, go ahead.
Right. So historically, we had events at Emmanuel Presbyterian, and sometimes they bring in $10,000 or $20,000, and we have a bag of cash. And then people would take the bag, it would be on a Friday or Saturday night, so people would take that cash home. And then they would keep it over the weekend, and then they'd bring it back and put it in. And there was some question as to whether they were putting all of the cash in. Maybe they were, you know, dipping into it. So the notion was that the LSB said, well, it'd be better if the cash got collected, if it was counted by the LSB to make sure that it's counted accurately, not just by one designated person, but a bunch of people from the various factions would count all the cash. And then we'd put it in a bag, and we'd lock that bag up and something, and maybe one or two of them would drive it to the lockbox and put it in to guarantee that the money was not being diverted from the cash event. That's why we have a lockbox. It's literally a lockbox.
No,
it's a safe depository box.
See?
All right, Michael Novick. Michael Novick.
Yeah, so I'm just very concerned that I heard... am I audible?
Yes, I hear you, Mike.
Okay, yes, I'm just very concerned. I heard Barry say that 2018, the books are not closed in 2018. The books are closed in 2018. The PNB approved the audit.
Yeah, but there's still adjustments being made, Michael. And when Aneta calls me, I'm going to actually close out 2018, and then we'll open the audit for 2019.
I find that really bizarre that the auditors have seen it, reviewed it, released their audit, and we're still making corrections to it. I'll have to say, I don't understand that at all. Not on you, but I'm not putting it on you, but I think it's bizarre.
Yeah, I was in conversation with George Walker, who was of Aneta, and I had to do some year-end adjustment entries for 2018. So he has forwarded that information, the trial balance, to the auditor, and they're doing what they're doing as far as what in order to close it out. So I'm supposed to be he's supposed to be letting me know when we can close out 2018.
Okay, so I would request that the chair of the committee and you, Barry, as the GM, forward that information to the Pacifica National Board and the IED, because I can't understand that at all. We've already paid for and completed an audit and received it. I can't understand how you can go back and change it.
I don't think they're changing anything. I just think they're just trying to approve it, make sure everything, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So as far as I don't know what they're doing, so that's beyond my expertise. So they're doing it, not me.
I'm not putting on you, but let somebody higher up than you know that that's going on is what I'm saying at the level of the National Board and the Interim Executive Director.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, are we ready to move into looking at the budget? So? Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
We're listening. I have no opposition from me.
Okay. All right. So I sent out my comments and some suggestions, but, you know, some of them I can't totally make. You know, we still have the issue of what the revenue is going to be. And have you made any headway with that, Barry?
Yeah, I've been working on it, and I got a new number for the budget. So yeah, I'm trying to get the budget to where we can actually like break even, so to speak. So I'm going to cut expenses and getting all the adjustments you guys had made in the previous meeting. And so yeah. I do have a new number for the budget.
What do you mean, a new number?
Well, I mean, as far as, you know, the listener support revenue, that's a new
All
number.
Right,
because remember, you made a statement about October's fundraising number.
Did. Yeah, okay, let's hear the numbers.
Okay. Hold on a minute. Let's see. 2021, okay. So, last time we had, I think I had for October, I think it was like 70. Let me. You have your schedule here. Let me see. Okay. Bear with me here in a minute.
I'm sorry, Ken, could I just ask you to send me the budget document with your annotated columns again, because it went to my spam folder and I finally tracked it down and marked it not spam. Disappeared completely.
Problem.
Thank you.
Oh, well, okay, I have it open, so let me close it. No, never mind. I can do it this way. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. My precious email and budget comments went in your spam folder. I'm insulted. How dare they? Here it comes.
Okay. Anyway, October, I believe, in the last budget was like $72,000 there. We went over it.
Well, it was 69, but, you know.
Yeah. So now the budget number for October, I have $420,070.
Okay, Barry, what is it based on?
It's based
How
on
many
last,
fun drive days
last,
are you going to have in October? And what is your
We're
expectation?
We're going to have 31 days in October, okay?
And like 31 before, days. Kim, okay, you're going to start
Kim.
October 1
let's make one thing clear here, Kim, let's make one thing clear here, that I can tell you what the aggregate is for fund drive days for 2021. I cannot tell you details on each budget, how many days we're going to run on each fundraising day, drive. I can't tell you that, but I can give you an aggregate number.
Okay, Barry.
Why not?
You're saying you're going to have a – yeah, why not? Let
because
me show
we,
you
we,
how
because
to
– Because if you know in the past,
finances?
We have extended our fund drive.
Hey, Paulina, you might want to
be
on mute.
We go 31 days, and then we go another 5 days.
Sorry.
Paulina, are you asking to be on the back?
Oh, I didn't know. No, I realized I'm not. My bad.
What?
I needed to mute. Apologies. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Look, Barry, here's how it works. So you say you're going to have a fun drive from October 1 to October 31. We, who are looking at the numbers, would, you know, roughly determine that the maximum you're going to do in a day is 15K. Now, if you're going to do what you did in May and June, we're looking at about $6,300 a day. That's how you determine what your revenue is for October. So I don't know what kind of fund drive day you're going to have, but we're either looking at 15K or 63K per day. So let me do the math here.
Kim, I've already
okay,
done
that.
What the fund driver is going to produce. You just can't predict that.
Pardon me?
You cannot predict the number of amount of money that you're going to get per day for 31 days.
Okay, Barry. I've done this for 10 years, and I've done it every single year, and I've been very, very close to correct. Maybe you can't do it, but others of us who have been looking at this for, you know, a decade can. And this is how we figure it out. Now, I sent you yesterday a budget again, and I showed you the table where you can do those numbers. You can put those numbers in,
Wait a minute. The numbers that you sent me yesterday on that table, those numbers were put in there. There's no formulas for those numbers. Those numbers
there
were just arbitrarily
there,
put in there.
You don't see them. You have to change those numbers.
Based upon last year's fund drive numbers.
What?
It's based upon last year's fund drive.
No, what I sent you my fund is based on 213. Those numbers are from 213. You put in new numbers in, and they will change.
I understand that. I understand this is 2013. But I told you before that whenever we do the budget, that in order to project the revenue going forward is based on last year's fund drive numbers.
Oh, this is Ken to the stack. Ken to the stack, please.
Go ahead.
Barry and everybody else, it's the function of accounting to make a prediction as accurate as possible, not to say predict. You could say, I can't predict, but then you're not being the business manager or the accountant. You have to make the prediction. That's why we're doing the budget. We're trying to control the future. You can't say, I don't know.
October is our biggest fund drive. October 3rd, and when we do our October fund drive, that's our biggest fundraiser of the year.
That's fine. You've had 69,000.
It doesn't matter. You have to make a prediction. That's your job, is to make a prediction, not to say, I can't predict. Make a prediction. You might be right. You might be wrong. Make a prediction.
Here's my
prediction. The number there is the numbers in the sale right there for October. That's what the number is.
Okay.
The prediction.
But it's not based on anything. Barry, here is how you make a prediction. You say you're going to run a fund drive, a regular fund drive, from October 1 to October 31.
Good.
That is 31 days. You multiply that times $15,000 per day. You come up with $465,000. You take 85% of that, and you come up with 395%, $250,000 for October revenue. Okay? That's how you predict. Now, if you're going to do a soft drive, then you're looking at about half of that. We don't know what the GM is planning. That is how you make a prediction for every single month throughout the year. I mean, every other, you know, person who's done the books has done it this way.
I've done it the same way, too. I used last year's fund numbers.
Well, then where did you come up with $69,000 in October for the last 3 years? That number has been in there for October.
Where are you getting your numbers from, man? I mean, I don't even know where you're getting your numbers from. 69,000.
Why do you know that have the same numbers? No, It's on your budget for October.
I told you the numbers have been revised. Do you listen?
Barry, line 5,000. Barry, line 5,000, column C.
I know. That's what I'm looking at. I told you that I had revised the number.
But it's 69,000. It should be over 300,000.
Look, I'm going to tell you this one more time, okay? The budget I sent you last week, I know was not correct. It was the October number was not correct. I have revised the October number now.
And what did you base it on? You're telling me that you can't predict. And I just showed you how to predict.
I just told you it was based upon last year's fund drive, October.
Yeah, but that's not the way to do it. You
that's
have to do it
on
how
on
many days, how many days, and how much per day. You can't just copy last year's numbers because how many days they had last year in the fund drive was less than 31 or different
right,
than 31.
Right. Right. Let me tell you something. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Just a minute.
And what number did you up with?
Just a minute. Just a minute. Hold your horses.
Kim?
Yes.
Can I make a quick comment?
Please.
Why don't we
move on.
Go through this? Why don't we go? No. Why don't we go through this?
Okay. Last year's
with our calculators all together and go through the procedure to do an estimation, which is the prediction of the thing here. I mean, you laid it out. I think if we went through this calculation.
I don't know what fund drive days the GM has planned. I can't plan those fund drive days. I'm not going to.
He already said that we're planning to fund drive every day in October. I heard him, Barry, say that earlier, I believe.
Yeah, but I want the whole year done.
Okay, but let's just do October because...
We did October. Because, we're getting $400,000. And that's...
Column C5000 shows $69,082. That's way less than a month of fund driving at $15,000 a day.
I understand.
Wait. We don't have Barry yet agreeing to follow the estimation procedure. Let's make sure that he knows what it is so that he can do it because it's going to be over $300,000 and he's got $69,000 there. Let's get him to fix this right now, to follow the procedure, write down the formula, make it real simple. We'll all follow along. Well, go ahead. $15,000 a day times 31 days is about $450,000, $465,000. And that's the revenue from listener support in the year of October, not $69,000. So let's get Barry on board with this. And you're asking where it comes from. And you're saying, what does he base it upon? Well, you've already told him what he needs to base it upon, the $15,000. Let's come to agreement here so that he understands this and can do this, or if he disagrees, to tell us why. I'm done.
Well, you also need to take 85% of that total
for
fulfillment.
So let's write this. Let's speak slowly. You're a fast talker. Let's speak slowly and just tell him how to do this estimation calculation to make the prediction. So let's do this. So the first thing you do is step one. Go ahead and say it, Kim, and Barry will follow along. We'll make the calculation, and then we'll fix it. We'll at least have to, rather than doing it tomorrow.
Okay, I'll go through this quickly. I am going to go through
slowly.
It quickly because
slowly.
I don't
slowly
think...
enough.
Okay.
Slowly
okay,
enough for,
Stop.
For him to write
Stop.
It down.
Stop.
For him to write it down. Give him time to write it down.
Step
have him echo it
one.
Back as he writes it down.
Step one. Plot out your fund drive days for the whole year.
Didn't
okay?
you ask Danielle that on Sunday?
No, I didn't.
So
nobody
did.
I wasn't at the meeting, okay? He made a presentation that wasn't what they were talking about. They had other issues to talk about. We're in a budget meeting now, and that's what we're doing now. You and the GM need to sit down and figure out your fund drive days for the whole year. And we want a total of how many fund drive days that's going to be.
Okay, well,
okay?
On the budget as of now, the number of fund drive days for fiscal year 21 will be 147 days.
Okay, well, let's see if that number is realistic. We take 143 days times 15,000.
I said 147.
Equals, pardon?
147.
143 days times 15,000 comes up to what?
Kim, you didn't hear him right. He said 147, not 143.
Sorry, 147. 147 times 15 equals 2.205. okay, times 85% equals 1874250 as your listener support. Okay?
For the year. For the year.
Now, you need, with the GM, to make a chart of which days throughout the year this is going to be. You're going to have 31 days in October. You're going to have blah-de-blah days in December. You need to work it out which, when they're going to be and how many days and break it down. Okay? And then you can figure out, you don't want to use the fun drive chart, which will do all the math for you, but you have to break it up. Like, you get, I don't know, 60, 65% the first month, and then so much the second month, so much the third month. Fun drive chart does all that
Tim,
math.
Tim, I know
for
how
you.
The budget works. This is my third budget being here at KPFK.
I understand.
I know how it works. Okay?
Yeah. Well,
I know
yeah,
how accounting works. I know how finance works. You don't have to go through that information with me.
Okay. All right. Shall we move on? Because we
Michael, to the stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
I just think it's important to go over this because it affects the cash flow each month. And one of the things that's on the or used to be on the budget development template is a cash flow tab.
Mm-hmm.
And the query is filling out which days we're actually going to raise the money on and how much money is going to come in any given month is because we have to maintain a positive cash flow overall. We have to have enough in the bank at the beginning of a month that's going to not raise enough money that month to cover expenses that we can still cover our expenses from the savings. So that's
right.
Got to be calculated. It's got to be built into the budget. And it has to come out at the end of the year with a balanced budget at least. Thank you.
And let me just point out that we're, you know, according to Nita's last P&L, we're $400,000 in a deficit right now. So we're not going to be starting October with any sort of savings. Okay, so let's move on from listener support. We'll revisit that. Okay, so I corrected line 11 with the major donors. I'm not seeing $215,000 as a number that we can put in there. You have 62,000 year to date. So I would suggest 75,000 is generous. The less than $1,000 a year. I mean, this has that on that. The P&Ls don't actually have it on there. So, you have year-to-date zero in there, so I don't see sticking another $50,000 in there. Now, next we have sponsorship. Somebody want to say something? Hello?
Well, I just have a question. Kim, you said you didn't think it was realistic. Did you want Barry to respond as to why it is realistic or not?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Sure, you know. Actually, I put $10,000 in there. It should be this zero, because there was zero year to date, and only $1,300 the year before, and that was probably a mistake. So, these here are suggestions. I don't need him. You know, he can respond saying he doesn't agree with me, but I don't know. I mean, Barry, jump in if as we go down here. Next is sponsorship income. This is a big issue. It's been discussed on the national committees and PNBs for the last couple of years that, there's a policy that Pacifica doesn't take underwriting, and here it is. You know, we've had it in there for the last 3 years. So I don't know what to say here. Anybody, you know, Grace, you know, you're doing this on the strategic planning committee. You know, what do you want to say about this?
Well, is she
can
on
you
the
repeat
call?
The question, please?
Well, there's sponsorship. We're on the line item with sponsorship. Y'all are discussing this on the national committees. You want to weigh in on this? It's still policy that we don't take, you know, underwriting. So,
I think that the station has been. Well, the first thing is there are no community events. Most of our community events sponsorships are not happening. That's the first thing.
Well, that's irrelevant.
Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Of course.
It's a non-issue because, and anyway, the community sponsorships, from my calculations, are running at a loss. So if that's eliminated from the budget in terms of income and expense, I think we'd be better off.
Well, Grace, there is $30,000 in the budget that they're expecting to bring in. So what do you suggest that number should be?
Of course there's income from it, but if you take into consideration that, from what I've been able to calculate, Maggie LaPeak was spending about 50% of her staff time on that, and she had a half-time assistant also doing it, you can easily calculate that the $30,000 income is overshadowed by the over $30,000 of expense.
Well,
so
this year,
I think if we eliminate that item entirely, and if we somehow, I mean, the elephant in the room is the national board has ordered that at least a 30% reduction in expenses be made at KPFK.
But we're talking about revenue here. This is revenue.
Okay, well, I just told that is revenue.
What?
I don't imagine that there are going to be any community events for the foreseeable future, so there will not be any revenue from them. Am I correct?
Eliminated itself.
Do you know of any event that's going to happen in the time of the coronavirus?
No.
I would say that it's going to be at least six months before there are any large gatherings.
The LSB is intending to do a virtual town hall, hopefully over the air as well as, through some online platform. And I think we would be asking for donations, not to participate, but having the town hall.
She's talking about
this is sponsorship.
Community sponsorship.
This is underwriting. Well, I don't know that it's all community. I don't know whether it's sponsorship or underwriting. Either way. This year to date, we had 19,000. In 2019, there was 24,000, and now there's 30,000 in the budget.
Michael, do you
understand? Here's the thing. Wait a second. There will be no community events for the foreseeable future who are going to give us money to announce them on the air. This would be the Skirball Center, the Ford Amphitheater. Those events are not going to be happening. Therefore, we should eliminate that income budget. It should be zero, not 30,000.
Right to the stack.
Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. If that's what we're talking about, people providing donations based on publicity for their events. I don't think those events are going to be happening. I think the previous ones probably had to do with like the in-kind advertising for the 50th anniversary of the LA Times.
No. No, Michael, that was not in there. Oh no, it was different. I'll send you what I have. I'll send you the information. That whole stuff about that gala never panned out. We spent over $56,000 to Skirball. I don't know what kind of trade and con they were supposed to be, but it didn't happen.
No. I was saying there was a trade and con with the LA Times about advertising for it that we in turn publicized their festival books or something like that.
There was no written record of any, of that in the general ledger. So I don't know what actually happened there, but the Skirball, I'll put in zero as what this committee recommends. Is that what the
question, Kim?
I heard Fred, and then I think I heard Dave. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kim. I have the floor. Looking at the NIDA P&L for May 31st, I noticed that the sponsorship income, 90% of it came in March for this year. There's a number of 17,000 for March and then 1,000 for October and November. What is that $17,000 for underwriting?
UCLA, something to do with UCLA.
The book fair?
Don't know. What? No. But I don't know. I don't know, other than UCLA.
The question I'm asking is to Barry. What is that money? Or is it in kind?
Yeah, it was sponsorship income. It was sponsorship income through UCLA. We did a program for UCLA that generated that amount of money for KPFK.
So that's real money?
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can count on it. Can we? I don't think there are going to be any events in 21.
I don't think it would be reasonable to put zero for sponsorship income because we may get a vaccine by the end of this year, which would open everything up by the first of the year. So I would think we could be able to generate some more sponsorship income for the year 21.
Well, it's also a question of if we want to do that. As I said, this is not my decision. This is really a national decision since they're deciding on whether this is policy or each station can do what they want and sort of pretend they're not doing it. I don't know. I mean, just what does the group want to do? And then, let the food fight follow somewhere else because that's not our fight, really.
We've got Steve to the stack.
Steve, go ahead.
Well, we've got 5 months left in the year, and it takes a certain amount of lead time to get a community event going. So I think Grace has the best perception here that we should expect no community events. We should have some firm basis for expecting revenue from something. And also Grace pointed out the economics aren't necessarily good. I think what these community events can really serve is to promote other things like the books and the DVDs and such of the speakers that hopefully we could promote and share in, as we've done in the past.
John, into the queue.
Go ahead.
Michael made the statement that he thought there were going to be some virtual community events. So let's suppose we have one and it earns $10,000. Where does it go in this income?
Community. Community event. That's our community event.
Okay,
as opposed
our community event. So was it Grace's idea to zero out community events because we won't have any people attending?
We haven't gotten down that far. We haven't gotten down to that
minute.
Line item.
Excuse me. Can we get, this is line 16, community special events, right?
Yeah.
Line 16? So
we are still on line 14, sponsorship income.
Okay, my mistake. I was thinking, I thought I heard a statement that was relevant to that. Okay, so I'm back on line 14, no sponsorship income.
Line 14, got it. is taking money from other entities to promote them on our airwaves. You
right.
can call it sponsorship,
like
you can call it underwriting, but it's the same thing. We're taking money to promote something on our airwaves.
My comment on that is that underwriting is like somebody rich, like the Ford Foundation, gives us some money to do something, but that's just a gift, an underwriting gift. Whereas this for UCLA, we're giving them publicity, and they're paying us for that publicity, and that's basically a fee for service, and that's not the same as underwriting. So I don't think it's good to. I think sponsorship is clearer than underwriting.
That's incorrect.
It's the same thing, though.
It's incorrect. Sorry.
Really? Why is it
incorrect?
Sure. Please explain why it's incorrect. I don't understand.
Okay. If a rich corporation gives us money with no strings attached, that's a gift. That's not underwriting, and it's not community sponsorship. Community sponsorships and underwriting are the same thing. Underwriting is when there's a quid pro quo. The Ford Amphitheater wants us to announce their event a certain number of times, and they will give us $500. They want us to announce it on the air or on the website. That is underwriting, also known as community sponsorships. If it's not a community thing, if it's Starbucks or something, then it's corporate sponsorship, but it doesn't matter. It's all under the rubric of underwriting.
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Barry. Hello?
This is Dave.
Davey,
yeah.
Oh, Dave wanted it. Okay, sorry. Dave, go ahead.
Okay, so if we're saying sponsorship is the same thing as underwriting, I thought we didn't take underwriting at Pacifica. That's a question. Thank you.
Me too. Me too. Same question.
Well, KPFK has been doing it for 3 years. So, you know, there are policies and then there's what people choose to do. Okay, so let's move on from here because we've gone around here enough. Okay, so grants income, in 2019.
Bella to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. I think we need to resolve this issue before moving on to the next one. I agree with Grace, and I agree that the station has been doing it for quite a while. This is what we have had the conversation on for quite a while. So we need to zero it out, and if something comes in, then we can deal with it later on. In the meantime, we need to resolve it now. It should be zero, and then we move on to the next one.
All right, does everybody think zero should go in there?
This is Dave.
Go ahead.
Well, what does management say? Does management say they're going to have sponsorship income, and how are they going to do it? If I heard you correctly, Barry, management is thinking that after the first of the year, they'll be able to do some kind of event where we'd have this sponsorship income. Is that what the plan is?
That's correct. I think that a vaccine for the coronavirus will probably be made available probably by the end of the year, and they'll probably open things up probably around the first quarter of 21.
Thank you.
Do we want to vote on what to put in here or what?
Yes.
I think it should be zero. It's running at a loss anyway.
Does anybody object to putting zero in there?
Question. This is Dave.
Go ahead.
So, Barry, what is, based on what you've said, what would be your best guess for the sponsorship income?
What, Dave? What's your question?
Well, based on the fact that we won't be able to do any outside events, and since management hasn't proposed, to the best of my knowledge, any online events, despite the fact that KCRW and KPCC is doing online events and raising a lot of money doing it, But since we're not considering an online event, is I wanted to ask Barry, we've got $2,500 budgeted per month. Is that management's best guess as to the total that we're going to raise with only starting something after January 1st? That's my question.
I think sponsorship income should be $20,000 for the year, for the fiscal year 2021.
Who have been those sponsors, Barry? Who do we expect?
Well, we've had, like I said, we had CAP UCLA, and then we also had the Pasadena Playhouse, and then we had another company. I forget the name of the company. I think it was like for $5,000. So we do get sponsorship income. So
yeah, I don't think we're compromising the Pacifica mission by, you know, helping these people out. They help us out. It's seems appropriate. It seems last year or the year before, there was like big events, I think maybe like a tragedy in Haiti or something like that, where we were actively promoting contributions on the air and taking them in, and we were sharing in those proceeds.
That's true.
I think that'd be
and
another
also
good.
Also, the Woofie fire, too.
What is it?
The fire that happened. That fire happened out in Malibu.
That's a whole different ball of wax. That's a whole different issue, Steve.
Well,
not
go ahead.
Sponsorship. That's something totally different.
Okay,
so,
that's fine.
Look,
I think it's an avenue.
What do we want to do here? Can we agree on something? What does the group want to do? Because I want to move on. We got other stuff to do.
And what was it last year, Kim?
Pardon me?
What was in that line item last year of income from community sponsorship?
Are you looking at it?
I'm sorry, I'm not. Can you just tell me what it is?
Let me get back to it. Is anybody looking at it? All right. $24,219, and it's $19,000 year to date. And he has $30,000 in for 21, and I don't know what was. Well, 2018 was real messed up, so I don't know what was in there. Not back that far.
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, if we're showing $24,000 for the whole year, would it be unreasonable to say that if we were going to do an event?
No, it's $19,000 year to date, and 17 of that was from UCLA.
Yes, beg your pardon. Should we put a figure in for half of what we did last year, i.e. the current year?
That seems reasonable.
It just seems like we're not full 12 months due to the COVID, so we could take whatever we've done in the past and cut it in half. And I'm not so certain that even if a vaccine is invented in January, that you're going to have a lot of people able to take it because they're not going to be able to produce it fast enough. They're only going to need 336 million injections even in the United States, you know. So I think there'll be a lag time and behind them coming up with a vaccine. And January, from what I've seen in the news, is a very optimistic date for starting vaccines. So maybe half of the figure from this current fiscal year would be more conservative for that figure.
Okay. Let me –
disagree. Back to the staff.
Okay. You can go after me. I agree with Grace that staff time is part of this calculation. And how much staff time is going to, you know, $15,000 a year. And same with the grants. You know, it looks like there are three different staff people chasing grants, and we've come up with, you know, like $13,000. So, you know, this is something that you all need to discuss with the GM about allocation of our more, you know, what will be fewer employees. And, you know, that's a discussion I'm not prepared to have, but somebody needs to have it at some point down the road. You know, it's $30,000 in the budget. There's so many other mistakes. We can come back to this next time because we still need to get a second draft before we go anywhere. So can we put a pin on this and move on, please?
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, great idea.
Yeah, okay. So
I'm on staff.
Okay, go ahead, Bella.
Okay, great. So we can move on. Were you able to resolve the issue of $17,000 under the line item for bank charges? What is that about, $17,000?
I have no idea what you're talking about. If when you get down to that line item, please bring it up, because right now
You passed it already a while ago.
We're on revenue, Bella, not expenses. We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, wait a minute. You're on line item, I just sent to all of you the same question I have asked over and over again. Why are there general ledger numbers missing and they're not listed? And that affects our P&L and the budget. So if you can, I hope we can address that at some point today.
Yeah.
It's in your inbox.
So we have community events. We've got like $30,000 in here, and my comment was we need a plan for how to do virtual events before we can expect any revenue coming in. It's my feeling. I cut it down to $20,000. Might be just less than that, but it's only $20,000. So we leave $20,000 in and move on. Hello? All right. Well, let's move on.
Sure, move on.
Okay. This is something, needs to be discussed with the general manager when you get there. Line 20, grants income, you made $13,000 this year, $13,000 this year, $40,000 to date, and management has $150,000 in for 2021. So I could be generous and say $50,000, but that's as far as I would go. And, you still got three different people chasing grants. And from what I've seen from the general ledger, I don't know that any of that stuff is grants or what kind of grants they are. So this is a fuzzy area. If you want to put 50 in there, it's better than 150. Any thoughts? No
thoughts. My thought is that these are their predictions of revenue, and let's see what their predictions are for expenses. And I agree with both you and Grace, Kim, that we need to look at the number of people that are, for example, back up there to these earlier things. If we have three people trying to raise money to bring in $30,000, it's just not going to work. So the whole thing is we have to insist that the budget be balanced with the appropriate reductions that have been mandated by the PNB. So,
okay, do you want me to leave $50,000 in there for grants revenue?
Let's see what they do. I just look down below to see what it is.
What? I don't know what you mean. What number should you want to go in there?
Frankly, without more details, I don't know what they're planning for that. But this is their prediction for revenue, and they have to indicate at some point how they're going to do this. They also have to allocate staff to do it, and they're mandated to reduce expenses by 30%. So let's see how it works.
I'm not leaving $150,000 as anticipated revenue. Just not going to happen.
Absolutely.
Okay, anybody disagree with me on that?
So the question is this. Is this the budget from the Finance Committee or the budget from Barry and as Annual's agent?
Annual's agent.
This date.
So if it's Annual's agent's budget, then we don't change it. If it's the Finance Committee recommended budget, then we do change it. So I just need clarification.
These are all recommendations. These are all recommendations, you know, that after you approve.
Okay.
I'm not going to approve. I'm not going to vote to approve $150,000 of grant income. I mean, you know, anybody can do what they want. You know, the GM, the National Finance Committee, the PNB. Anybody can do what they want, but I'm not going to vote for it. You know, that's all I know. That's my entire purview. So, Fred is first,
Kim.
Bella, then go ahead.
Fred here. I'm just looking at the NITA P&L for FY19. They say that KPFK had $13,000 in grant income, and for FY20,
right,
which is this year, we've got so far $39,000. So your $50,000,
right,
seems reasonable. I don't know where this grant income is coming from myself, but supposedly NITA, these numbers are real from NITA.
Uh-huh. Okay, so let's move on. Okay, now we have on line 22, miscellaneous media sponsorship, studio income for, you know, expectations of $30,840, and 19 did 9832. So I don't really know what this is. If it's media sponsorship, we already have that above. If it's studio income, I'd like to know exactly what that is and you know, can you, is that based on what? So can Barry, you know, enlighten us at all?
Yeah, that particular line item is there for reasons like we rent our studio, our station out for studios to do commercials or movie shot, and we were doing pretty well before the pandemic, and that's why we have that there for that. We had expected that to expand for 2021.
They don't have, this is on your budget on the P&L. I don't see a category for this, and I can't really tell from the general ledger where this, what came in and from where. So maybe you can tell us on what line is this?
It would be on line 22, where we had written our station out for a commercial.
On the P&L, on NITA's P&L.
It's miscellaneous.
I don't have that in front of me. I don't have P&L.
It's miscellaneous.
Yeah, miscellaneous. We have $2,909 for the year. So you made $3,000 for the year and, you know, basically $1,000 in October, $1,200 in November. You made $26 in January, $150 in February, and April was $533. So I'm not seeing where you're going to get $30,000 out of this.
Like I said to you before, we had expected to expand that for 2020 and 2021 for studio income and media sponsorships.
Fred would like to make a comment.
Go ahead.
My understanding is Hollywood right now is shut down. They're not making movies because of the pandemic. And so we don't know when that's going to, you know, resume also. All this depends on a vaccine sometimes in the near future.
This is Dave.
Okay. Bella, were you still on the stack or have you done?
I know you don't want to recognize me. I can hang up if you want.
What?
You heard.
Okay.
You heard me.
I didn't actually. It was a little blurry, but I'll go to Dave.
So you're not recognizing me?
Well, are you on the stack or not, Bella?
I have asked you to put me on the stack, and you always have a remark when I ask to be placed on the stack.
Or not. Just, you know, if you want, you're on the stack now. What, you know.
Then I need to go now, yes?
You're on the stack now. Go ahead.
Thank you. So, I'm wondering, I'm looking at the far end, the far right of this so-called budget, which is so ridiculous anyway. All the numbers, and I don't see from fiscal year 2021, it gives us the comparable reference of 19. I see 20 through here, but should we not have a breakdown from October through June for actual, so that we can see how we are doing so far in 20, so then we can go in from the rest of the year through the end of, which would be September, and then we go into the 19, rather the way it is. But the layout of this budget makes it very difficult because we only have a few months left. The other thing is, I noticed that the studio income, yes, is clearly here on the budget on line 22, but there's no GL number for it. So no general ledger number has been assigned to it. So that tells me that it's a limbo state. It's a miscellaneous. And when NIDA picks that up, it probably gets sandwiched somewhere else and probably miscellaneous. And we need to identify every source of income individually and clearly. And then the other question is, have you taken into account that after the audit fiscal year 18, which was just completed, and all the adjusting entries were sent to each unit so they could make the adjusting entries, have those adjustments have been taken into account here? I beg to tell you no. And the same thing goes for the P&L and every other report. And yesterday I sent information about that, but no response. Okay.
I think Dave was next.
Yes, I wanted to ask Barry if that studio income, is that a net figure, meaning that it would take into account any staff members that we'd have to have at the station supervising the film crew, helping the film crew, et cetera? That's my question.
For the studio income, there were no staff utilized for the shooting of that particular commercial or movie. We didn't use anybody. They just came in and took over a certain room, and we gave it to them, and we had no personnel operating that. Getting to Bella's question, sponsorship income, Bella, is $556.51.
Barry, I noticed a lot of GL missing and then combined GL. And that is always...
I just told you what the sponsorship income is, okay? 5651.
And what about all the other general ledger numbers missing on each line item?
Oh, Bella, please. You know, you're the only one that sees stuff missing. Barry, let me ask you a little more about these studio shoots. We only received $30,000 this year. So, and that was mostly in the beginning of the year. So I'm not seeing what's going on here and where you're going to get $30,000 in FY19, you had $9,800, and then, as I said, this year, $3,000. You know, I mean,
yeah,
Mm-hmm. I'll probably knock that number down to probably around $15,000. But I didn't, you know, account for the pandemic.
Well, I suppose that's better, but it's still sort of fantasy revenue as far as I can see. Anyways, you know, you have interest income here, and Nita isn't tracking it on their P&L, but it's only $1,500. So, all right. You know, as I said, you know, last week, you know, we're going down to expenses now. You want to add the child care, which will be about $15,000. And we need to add an election expense, which will be about $25,000. So telephones, once again. Now, in FY19, NIDA has 113,000. 18,000 of that was telerep. So that was, you know, about a 74,000 in phones. And then in, year to date is 91,000 minus 18K telerep. So year to date, we've done $74,000 in the phones. And last year, there was 13K telerep in there. So, I didn't deduct it. Well, deduct 13,000 from 113 is about $100,000. So you have in 2021, $81,000. I'm not seeing that at all. I moved the telerep down below to, and added it into telemarketing expenses or somewhere down in development where it belongs. But even taking that out, I'm still not seeing where you're going to get down to $81,000. So I'm leaving $111,000 in there because you've added more phone expenses, actually, than 19. So I'm leaving $111,000 in there. And if you want to, you know,
we've been cutting lines.
Go ahead, but I need documentation.
Yeah, we've been cutting back. There's a line up at Mount Wilson that we're cutting back on because we don't utilize
it. I can't hear you. I'm not hearing you.
I said we are cutting back some lines that are at Mount Wilson through AT&T that we're going to be cutting back. Okay, so that's going to be a significant savings there for us.
Yeah, I need to see this all in writing. I can assure you every single year I have ever worked on a budget, I've heard, yeah, we're going to cut phone expenses. So unless I see something in writing, you know, you all can do what you want. These are the numbers I'm seeing, and I just explained why. So, you know, I need to see, we need to see documentation of how this really is going to be cut. Because, you know, last week, I think it was Alan Beek who said, oh, look, the expenses have been cut $30,000 or $35,000. Well, you can put anything in an Excel spreadsheet.
No, he
but
said
that doesn't
expenses
mean these
have been
numbers.
Cut back 30%.
Whatever.
Total been cut
fine,
back by 30%.
But, you know,
okay?
When you look at actually what the expenses are, they haven't actually been cut because you can't cut them. So, you know, this is one where I'm not seeing that you're going to be spending, you know, $20,000, you know, $30,000 less. I don't see it. Okay, so we agreed we're going to omit line 76 because that's already in the programming committee. This line 79, association dues. Now, there is a line item debt in development. It's called development expenses, MEMSIS renewal. That is where your MEMSIS renewal goes, plus allegiance will go, FileMaker should go. So, you know, I haven't compiled all those expenses and where they're hiding out in various categories, but that's where those expenses should be. You know, we know we're going to pay $1,500 for, you know, Memphis for October, November, but all the Allegiant stuff goes in there, and whatever was FileMaker or any other related sort of data program, software, would go in there. So as far as line 79, you know, you have 1,500 in here, and I'm saying that should be 3,275, which is your NFCB renewal, end of story. So that's my recommendation based on that. Consultants and temps, well, and people on contract, you know, that's going to have to be fought elsewhere. I know that the GM doesn't want to cut this. So I don't know what this committee wants to do about that. We have, you know, like 27,000 year to date, 34,000 last year, and there's 13.2 in the budget. Anybody have an opinion on this?
I have a question. That's that the PNB is requesting a 30% cut in expenses starting by what date?
Well, you know.
No, I mean, I'm just
like
a question of fact.
A month ago. I think they had to be cut, like, in a week. I don't know.
Okay.
Grace made the motion.
So,
ask her. I don't know.
Okay, I guess the question is, does this budget reflect those cuts?
Well, we haven't figured all out yet what the real numbers are, so I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to get the numbers straight, you know, and not have, yeah, we're going to cut $40,000, and then you look at it and go, well, you can't because you can't run the station without X, Y, and Z. That's where we're just getting to now, you know. So there's no thoughts on the consultant.
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, this figure that's in there doesn't come close to representing what we're spending now, and we haven't seemed to release and no longer employ these consultants that we have on the air. We've got a couple of them that combined costing us over $2,000 a month, and we haven't really heard anything from any evidence from the station management that these consultants are going to be cut. But here on the budget, it shows $1,100. That would be a radical cut from what we're spending now. So it's, I mean, I think this should go down to virtually zero if possible. And why haven't we made any of these consultant cuts immediately, which goes a little bit to John Winger's question about when are we supposed to start cutting expenses 30%? Why haven't any of these cuts for the consultants been done?
Sure does.
Well, we can deal with that later because that's going to be all tied into payroll. And okay, line 82, legal settlement. Now, I sent you all the Wells Fargo information I found. No, not legal settlement. I'm sorry, 81. Professional fees, legal. This is where your Wells Fargo charges are. I sent you those transactions. So this is something I'd like Barry to get back to us on about this whole Wells Fargo issue. All right.
Yeah, I know now what that Wells Fargo fees are. That's the printers that we are leasing through Wells Fargo. They have a leasing service. That's how that gets put in there. That's what Wells Fargo is.
Well, it looks like
is.
There's $100,000 in that Wells Fargo bank account. That's what it looks like to me.
Can you repeat that?
There's no what account are you talking about as far as the GL?
I just sent you. I sent everybody what I saw in the GL. Now, it seems to me we have... So this is another printing, something or other. We're paying fees to do what?
We have... we got two printers, one in the newsroom and one in the administrative room, where we're paying fees to have the printer there through Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo is the service company that serviced the payment in order to pay for them.
So
that's a professional fee that we do through Wells Fargo.
It's not actually a professional fee. That's not a professional fee, in my opinion.
I agree. Paying a lawyer is a professional fee. Paying a doctor is a professional fee. Renting a piece of hardware is just paying rent. It's hardware rental.
Right.
We don't have a category for hardware rental.
What line?
Well, we need to get one because that's what it is.
Equipment rental.
Yeah, exactly. Equipment rental. Where's that? Rent, lease, equipment. There you go. Line 94. That goes on line 94. Anyways, we need to clear this up, and with the GL entries I just sent you. So if you could decipher that, I would appreciate it.
And a question for Barry. Barry, can you move that rental of that professional fee for the rental of printers, can you move that down from where it is down to line 94? Because this is renting, leasing equipment. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's fine. That'd be equipment lease, yeah. But professional fees have to have something in there because we do pay legal fees.
Yeah.
Well, it's a different thing.
Right, and there are a couple in there, and that's fine. I'm just talking about the Wells Fargo ones that showed up there, and the Wells Fargo expenses showed up other places, which I mentioned last week. I forget where, like tower rental or someplace weird. So, yeah, that needs to be straightened out. Now, anyways, okay. Insurance expense, well, I need clarity on this, why you're putting a fee in there when we don't know if we have insurance and who you're paying and all that.
We used to pay liability insurance on the bill.
I understand we used to pay, but unless you can tell me what we are paying now, I need clarity on that. So if you could get back to us with what insurance that is, how much it costs, and who we're paying it to, then we'll be good. But otherwise, it's just, you know, $10,000. I don't know where it's going to. Now, bank charges, you know, we had in FY19, $17,000. Year to date is $95,020. And you're putting $13,000 in there for 2021. So I'm not seeing where you can make that big a cut. I put... Quite frankly, my fee, my number would be $17,000 because you're actually higher year to date this year than you were last year.
No, that's about right. Pay about $1,100 in bank fees to Bank of America. So that's about $13,200 for the year.
Well, that's not what I saw when I looked at it. I had... You know, I don't know. I can do my numbers again, but no. Okay. What's your year to date number?
13,200.
You have year to date 13,000.
For the budget for 2021.
but I have no. The budget is
no,
not
no.
The 12, 9,
no, no.
The 12, 9, 8.
Year to date actual expenses.
Well, I don't know what that is. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, well, I do. I wrote it down here, 9520.
And we still got 3 months left in the year.
Yes, I know, Barry. Year to date is 9520. Year to date 2019 is 9,071. So we're $500 higher than last year. So I'm not sure how you're justifying like a $4,000 cut.
$12,980. That's about right.
This is Ken with a point of information.
What is
the definition of bank charges?
They're the fees that every month we get on the bank statement for doing whatever they do. They're on the bank statement.
Getting the printed out bank statement is, you came up with some big number. Everybody gets that for free. What are you talking about? I don't know the street.
Well,
I get all my bank statements.
Every month, Bank of America charges us bank fees to maintain our account. $1,000, between $1,000 and $1,200 a month. It's called service fees.
To do what? To tell you how much money you have? I don't understand. Are they charging you for checks or what?
For cashing the checks, for maintaining the account. Exactly, service fees.
A service fee for the business we're doing.
Correct.
For the use of the checkbook.
Correct.
How many checks do you issue a month?
From 75 to 85 checks a month.
Yeah, it's not just checks. It's wire transfers, Ken. And it's, you know, part of the lockbox thing is in there. Why do you think Bank of America is like a gazillionaire company? This is where they make their money.
Okay.
I'd like to make a suggestion.
Go ahead.
Ken and I have a little nonprofit. I mean, we manage a small nonprofit, and we talk to the people at, well, our account is at Wells Fargo. And we talked to them, and they waived the bank charges. So your business with Bank of America is more complicated. But you might want to ask them if they will reduce your charges because you're a nonprofit. They may very well give you a discount because we're a nonprofit. Worth a try.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you, if all the stations were all with Bank of America, all these would be a lot lower, but nobody
most of our banking is with Bank of America,
I mean, BAI has a different account, so does T, and PFW, and maybe not PFW, but Berkeley certainly does. So, you know, you got half and half.
I'm just saying it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
But
I'm just saying it would be, if the whole network were in B of A, we would save a boatload on wire transfers, for one thing. Anyway.
Well, that's a thought.
Anyways, I'm not seeing $13,000. You know, I'm seeing $17,000. You know, we can fight that out later. That's what I'm seeing. Conference trainings, I just don't see putting $2,500 in there. Who's ever chewing something, you know, please, please, or switching papers. Conference trainings, I'm not seeing it right now. We're going to have to make all these cuts. So, you know, I just put zero in there because that's what I would think. Now, travel, I'm not seeing this either. I'm not seeing local or faraway travel. So I'm just going to put zero in there and see where that goes. Anybody have objections to that?
Good idea.
No, I don't. No objection.
You know what? Okay.
No objection.
Yeah,
no
I
objection.
Have objection. Yeah, I'm not seeing the office the accounting expense of like $3,000. If you know, I'm not seeing that we suddenly need accountant help in this next year where we're stone cold broke and $400,000 in a deficit now. And, you know, a budget with $500,000 deficit. So I'm just putting zero in there. Y'all can do what you want. That's my recommendation.
Question. Yeah. NITA is accounting help. Where does NITA's cost go? This would seem to be the place to put it.
That's the national office. This is like, they were thinking they would need extra help here in Los Angeles. I'm not seeing that.
Okay, so it really means local accounting.
Yeah.
Alan Beek on the stack.
Go ahead, Alan.
Well, you have just sit around a spreadsheet as a 2021 budget on it. Is that what you're doing now? Is going over that one and revising it? And you're working on now on coming out with a revised 21 budget. Is that right?
No.
Yeah, line 28. Yes, line 88.
My comments are in this budget. We're just going over my comments. Then we can take our, you know, I'm getting consensus from the group, and our comments will go to management, and they can take it or leave it, but these are our suggestions. So that's what we're doing now. I'm not going to revise this budget.
Okay. So what the session is today, then, is just supplying a bunch of comments for each item in that 21 budget. And the 21 budget is, it runs a big deficit. It's not what we're shooting for. It's not our 30% cut. And are you...
We don't know yet.
We're hoping that your comments will end up producing that cut. Is that right?
Well, of course, I think our comments are pure genius. Of course, anybody should follow our comments, but I don't know what management's going to, you know, what they're going to do. So, you know, all we can do is make recommendations, and that's what we're doing.
Question?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, go
I would feel much better if those recommendations were to be put in the form of a revised budget. And send it back and say, here's what we're suggesting instead.
Okay, well, I'm not prepared to do that much work, so, but thanks. Go ahead, Wenger.
My suggestion, we request that line 88, accounting, be the term, the label be changed to local accounting, because otherwise... we have room in that space for local accounting. Let's make this better. So let's try to make it more understandable going forward.
I'm not changing the chart of accounts. I'm just putting zero in there. You know, that's it.
But Kim, you have to realize that the chart of accounts is one of the things that paralyzes it. Because of our chart of accounts, we're required to have at least half of our budget contain terms from an African language that none of us speaks because they're used in unconventional ways, misleading ways. So that's really part of the problem. That was really one of your major points in the meeting of a week ago. You were basically saying the problem is the items are not descriptive. That's equivalent to say the chart of equipments is FUBAR.
No, that is not at all what I was saying last week. I was saying I have no problem with the chart of accounts, okay? What I was saying is things are in this account, which should go in that account, blah, blah, blah. I wasn't saying anything about the chart of accounts. I was saying that they were miscategorized. We'll get there. Now, office expenses and supplies, you know, this is still fuzzy because there are office expenses and supplies and other accounts that I haven't personally accounted for yet. Somebody trying to get on the
chat? I'd like to see that. Well, I just want to comment on a chart of accounts. I think they're standardized by NITA, aren't they? So that we're all using the same chart of accounts through all the different Pacificas?
And yes,
that's
more or less.
That's not right.
It is right, more or less, yes.
Well, with regard to R. Paul Martin's detailed account, which we got in the last week or so, it was recommended in there on the NFC that we standardize for the chart of accounts, but based on R. Paul Martin's report, it sounded to me like we have not yet standardized on that.
Can we confirm that
somebody,
with NIDA?
Somebody on the NFC needs to address that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would really help us if we standardize that everywhere. And then, like Kim says, just make sure it gets into the right account as best we can. But we need to confirm that with NIDA, that they are standardizing that. That'll help Pacifica as a whole.
Right. And beyond that, we should give all the stations should give continual input to NIDA with regard to the improvement of the terms in the standardized chart of accounts, because frankly, right now, they're extremely misleading.
Okay. Well, office expenses and supplies is not misleading.
I agree.
There was $22,000. There are office expenses in other categories. I'm just saying I think this office expenses might be low, but I'm willing to leave it the way it is. Property tax, I'm not going there. Somebody else can deal with that. Fines, penalty. So this year to date is, it hasn't been entered yet, but we have $42,000 in there from the CPB money. And then another $102,000. From the LA County tax. I don't know what kind of penalty that is. Now, the loan interest should go in here. If you look at what you have, Barry, in your column A, 6621, 6569 is interest and penalties. So this is where your interest goes. Not down below on other admin expenses. So this $46,000 should go up here. This is my opinion. I hope you'll agree with me, but that's
No, I don't agree. I don't agree with you.
Okay. So what is
the bank charges?
The
bank charges go into 6570. That's where they go. Not under P5 70.
Right. But they're under 6670. You're saying they go to what? 65 what?
Bank fees go to 6570.
6570. Okay. But these are not bank fees. This is interest on a loan. So that would go under interest and penalties, which is 6569.
It shouldn't be.
What line? What line are you talking about? It's hard to follow with these numbers.
I can follow lines in the spreadsheet. 92 is fines and penalty. He has three GL codes there. It just says fines and penalty, but 6569 is interest and penalties. So that's where interest goes. He has, he's confusing this with bank charges up above, which you've already gone through. $46,000 in other admin expenses on line 101, which he's saying is going for the interest. So I'm just saying that should go where interest, that's the name of the account.
That's not the interest on the FJC loan does not belong in the fines and penalty. Okay. Does not belong.
But
there.
It doesn't go in interest either. Interest payments. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Michael,
that's what... Go ahead, Michael.
It goes to the other administrative expenses. That's where it goes, right there. That's where I put it. The interest on the FJC loan.
And what, Barry, what line is that?
101.
Thank you.
Other
admin expenses.
I'm sorry, I was working on to speak. Excuse me.
Michael's on the floor.
So this is a question about where to place it. I think one possible way to think of this is, since the buildings are essentially mortgaged against that loan, to consider in that way, as somehow related to the property. I mean, it's not exactly rental, but it's related to a payment for maintaining the premises. I don't know what line that would be, but.
I'm not willing to put it in renting and leasing of equipment. No. Because that needs to be.
Well, it's not a rent. I'm just saying that maybe there's not a line for that, but it's not exactly an administrative expense. It's something else. It's more of a capital expense in a sense.
Well,
anyway, it's just a suggestion. I'm not looking at the very moment, and maybe there is no line for it right now, but maybe we should think about getting a line for it on that basis.
Okay. You know, in my opinion, the category that says interest is where interest payments go. Just my thought. You know, do what you want. I'll leave it where it is. Moving on.
Kim, what line is interest? You mentioned it, but you don't give us a line number to follow.
Okay.
I have it in front of me here. I'll move it. But
92, Wanker. 92.
Gotcha.
6621. 6621 is a GL code for fines and penalties. 6569, which he also has as next line item, is interest and penalties. So
okay.
That's why
and here's
I'm
my
saying...
Point.
That's where this goes.
Fine. And my point is that column B, the description for humans to read it in English, needs to reflect what you want there. I agree. It's fine. It's there. So let's put in words that are in English correspond to these GL codes. For us to use, if not for the gosh damn Nita and all the rest of the people. We need words in English to describe things so we can follow things conceptually. I'm never going to remember these numbers 6621 and 6569.
You
I'm just
don't
not going to do it. But
to.
I can read English. No, I do have to, because otherwise, to make sense of what's presented here, I have to be able to read it in English. That's just a suggestion.
Okay.
I went to college reading English. I don't memorize computer
codes. Right now, Wanger. It's nothing we can do about right now. I'm trying to just deal with stuff we can do about right now. Okay? You know, let's stay focused and get through this, please. We're almost there. Rent, lease of equipment, you know. I don't know what to say about this. You know, I don't know. Year to date, 2019 was $25,000, $26,000. I didn't look up what was year to date this year, but I don't know. If we're renting this equipment, I don't know how you can just cut it. I don't understand that.
I think that's a Pitney Bowes machine and the copiers for one, in part.
Barry would know. The
Pitney Bowes machine, and that's the Ricoh copiers. We have two copiers, but there's one copy also in the PRA department. So that's what that is.
So we have copiers and we have printers?
Yep, we have copiers, printers, and we also have the Pitney Bowes machine down in the mailroom.
So how do we have, what's a printer if it's not also a copier?
These are printers that were, like I told you before, that are being leased through Wells Fargo.
No, I understand, but how is that different than the copier machine? They normally they do both.
The printers are just real small. They're not the large copier machine. Ricoh has a large copier machine. They're really huge.
These are like desktop printers.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So then the big printers in like the mail room. And upstairs in the computer room are the Wells Fargo ones?
No, those are the Ricoh.
Those are the Ricoh. So then the Wells Fargos are the desktop printers?
There's
but
a desktop
they don't
have
desktop
in...
printers. They all
yeah,
send
they have
it des- to the
there's
big
a desktop
one.
Printer in the newsroom where Margaret Prescott sits, and there's one in the administrative room.
So the desktop printers are from Wells Fargo.
Correct.
We're paying $142 a month for that. I mean, you could buy a printer for like $100.
I was against that, but they went ahead and did that, so I wasn't approving that. I didn't approve of that.
When did this happen? And when?
It happened like about 6 months ago, I guess. It was a sales rep that came in and wanted to sell, sell the fact that we would have desktop printers available and we would have a limited amount of service in order to replace their print cartridges. And I was against it, but they went ahead and did it, so I didn't approve that.
Who did approve it, Barry?
The GM.
Thank you.
And how many desktop printers are in this little deal?
Well, you know what? Let's see. I take that back. Jonathan is the one that did that, and I guess he went and got Aniel's approval, but I told him, I said, we don't have any money to be getting these two printers. But what happened was Margaret Prescott would always complain about the toner running out. And then when the toner ran out, she wanted the toner in her printer right away so she could utilize it. And it would take me like 3 to 4 days to order the toner from Staples. And so she wasn't too keen on that. So that's why they did it. So in order to appease Margaret.
Okay.
I see.
Well, I still don't see how you're going to cut, $6,000 from this if you have, agreement.
Well, because I told Jonathan that we need to get rid of those printers. So I think he's in the process of returning them to get them back to the owner, because we really don't need them. So it's an expense that we can cut. So that's what I told him.
But if you only... lease of equipment, it was $26,000 last year. It was $22,000 year to date. But if you only bought them 6 months ago, last year was still $27,000 or $26,000. So I'm not seeing how you get down to $19,000. You're just going to be even with last year, which was $26,000.
Kim, line number,
okay.
Please, I got lost.
94. I'm putting 26 in there, and y'all can do what you want, because it doesn't make sense to me. Utilities office. You have 43 something this year, last year, and I know you said that you're expecting it to go down because nobody's in the building. But I didn't see it go down as much as you're thinking it's going to go down, which is like $5,000, based on what it's been and what it still is. I mean, April, nobody was in the building. It was like $3,000, which is, May was a little lower. Well, put a pin in that. I'm not seeing that you're going to cut $8,000, maybe $4,000. But now, computer maintenance. I haven't actually finished going through all this, but I did do some of this, and there's nothing in there. In 2019 you have 4,700. For this year, 1,400. And for 2021, you have 20,000. So what are you expecting is going to go in there that wasn't in there this year?
Computer maintenance. Let's see. We have, let's see, what is it called? TechSoup that we have, we deal with, and Tech Impact.
Right. So you're going to move that over from where it's been here last year, right?
Yeah, 6680 to 6665, right, computer maintenance.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
I have, Kim, this is Grace. Can I make a comment about a gas item?
Sure.
In terms of utilities, I believe we're paying the utilities for the archives. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay, so they have to keep the air conditioner on all the time, which is quite expensive, electrically speaking. You know, electric bills, talking about electric bills. So that's probably why there won't be any significant decrease in electricity costs, even if there's nobody in the KFK studios.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm putting $40,000 in there, and y'all can do what you want. Might go down a little, but yeah, you know, it's July, August, September, October, the hottest months of the year, and those are not going to be, they're not going to go down much. Okay, so for 2019, total administrative expenses were $452. Year to date, it's like $230. And you're estimating that there's going to be $400,000. I'm not, you know, I guess I just put that. I haven't done all figured it out. So never mind. I didn't figure the whole thing out. I just put that there for my reference, which I'll look at later. News is, you know, you got to add the RRC to line 108. Maintenance technical. Now, 2019, there was 60,000, blah, blah, blah. Although your number in here is 60,465. NIDA has 60,615.
So what line item are you on?
111.
So, and we year to date, we have $32,000. So, you're going to add, going to be, I wrote this out. Where did I put this? Okay. So, in tower rental, you have Oval Relay and Palomar. They don't go in tower rental. They go in maintenance technical because they have to do.
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay. They have to do with communication between the tower and the station. They're not paying rent on the tower. So, in my opinion,
We're paying rent for mobile service, Paramount. Palomar.
Where's Paramount? It's not anywhere in there. What's Paramount?
Well, it's in there. It should be in there.
Yeah.
Do you mean Palomar?
Palomar, mm-hmm. I have, yeah.
Well, maybe Barry means Palomar. I heard Paramount, but I'm not sure what that referred to.
That's over there by Malibu. We have a signal over there by Malibu, by the beach over there. It's called Paramount.
Okay, so why is Mobil Relay and Palomar in there? These are like communication things.
It's tower. That's where it goes.
But it's not rent on that space. It has to do with the communication between the tower and the station.
We paid for that satellite or that antenna being over there. That's what we're paying for.
Okay. All right. So you're saying there's rental on some unit in Malibu or Paramount? Malibu and Paramount.
It's called Paramount. Yeah. Hold on a minute. Let's see if I can pull it up here. Let's see.
Paramount, P-A-R-A?
P-A-R-A-M-O-U-N-T. Let's see. I don't know what I'm finding right now. Just to have this in front of me.
Okay, whenever you find it, let us know, and we'll get back to this.
Okay, I'm almost there. Hold on.
Okay, I don't think that's tower rent. You don't pay to the Forest Service. You can change these communication services, but whatever. Where did I put that? Oh. Okay. Anyways, here are the expenses that I believe don't belong here, that go elsewhere. Airco and Echo. They.
Kim, I stepped over. What line number, please? Kim, line number?
This isn't line number. Well, yeah, I'm just talking about general maintenance. 111. Echo and Airco and Air, these are all dealing with the air conditioning in the building, correct?
yeah, Airco is dealing with the colo up on the second floor. Air conditioning within
right.
that room, and then also the air conditioning of the building.
Right. I'm trying to differentiate between maintenance on the building and maintenance and operations outside of the building, having to do with the tower and the other location. So anything that deals with the building goes under the maintenance under admin. Anything that deals with the tower, you know, and that the tower or, you know, whatever's in San Diego or Santa Barbara, that goes in technical under programming. So all of the air conditioning charges need to go in administration and out of this maintenance technical. So you got the year commission.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine, you know, but that's my opinion, and that's the way it has been done. Now, you got something in general and technical called Broadcasters Gen, G-E-N. What is that?
Broadcasters what?
Broadcasters G-E-N for $505. I don't see why that's maintenance technical. You got something called Education Pub Mail. I don't think that goes general and technical maintenance. You got MailChimp in there. That definitely does not go in maintenance technical. And all the MailChimps, which were spread out, they need to go somewhere in development because those are all part of development. And, you know, so that needs to be fixed. Meva is in here. That goes to the website. You got $900 worth of Office One expenses. That obviously goes in office expenses in admin. You got $2,400 of something going on with PayPal here. I don't know what that is. And then the Stream Guys, which goes in website, and you got Imp and TechSoup for like $14,000, which goes the admin computer. So in looking at what the real cost of this line item is, you know, in 2019, it was 60,000, and God only knows what's in there. Year to date, it's 32,000. Now I'm saying plus, you know, $12,000 for Palomar and Mobile, which I believe goes in there. It's always gone in there, you know, whatever. So just my calculations this morning was 30 plus 12, and then minus $20,000 for all the other gobbledygook that's in here that goes other places, leaving us with $24,000 to date. And then I have like a $3,500 WTF category and $5,300 in staff payments. So you have a $32,000. I'm seeing that. I'm more like 40,000, and I'm giving you a little cushion because you actually might get a real emergency repair as opposed to just maintenance. So I'm upping that. You know, like I said, you can put any number in here and make it look like you're making cuts, but I don't see anything less than $40,000 as your drop dead expenses. Now, maintenance engineer, the next line, 1112, you have $130 in there. There's never been anything in there. But I, you know, done all the payments to Stewart, and this might be his travel expenses that's not in travel, and, you know, totaling $684, so I put $1,000 in there. If he bills, does he bill back for his travel expenses?
No, he doesn't bill back. I've seen so far, he does do purchases of equipment for the Mount Wilson location that we reimburse him for.
Yeah, okay, but those aren't all in there. I don't know, there are other places, but they're not all in there. I haven't dug them all out and seen they are. Okay, well.
Michael, by the way.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, when you ran down the list of things, you said, I don't know what the PayPal is. I would assume PayPal is a development expense, because I assume it's whatever they charge for the difference between what people want to donate and what they have to send us.
It's a hinky. It does look like that, Michael. I don't know what it is. I've seen the PayPal thing go through there. I don't know what that is. I don't know why it's in there. Can send it to you, and you can see, you know, it just doesn't look like anything else.
If I donate to somebody through PayPal $25, PayPal takes off like 3%. and keeps it. So I'm assuming the best accumulation that PayPal's charging for processing donations off the website to us.
No, these look like orphan charges because those are all in other areas. There are tons of PayPal charges where they belong. This doesn't belong here, and I don't know what it is. I'm just saying. Because I see, you know, what you're saying is normal. I've seen that. It's normal. I'm not, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It certainly doesn't belong in maintenance technical. You know, I don't know what it is because I can't even tell whether it's an expense or revenue. So I'm okay. Just saying, you know, I'm just saying. You know, and here we go, the rent expense for the tower and Forest Service, you know, the rent expense for the tower is $594 a month times 12, plus the $5,000 that we're moving from maintenance technical to the Forest Service is a total of $12,128. Don't consider Palomar and the other one to go in there, but Palomar and Cobalt is 12. You know, I'd have to go back to see what it is with those two in there. But, you know, this needs to be worked out. At any rate, you know, we're just trying to get these categories and in the same place every month. This tower, you know, it was $59,000 in 19. Year to date, it was $69,000 in 19. And there were 2 months we didn't pay or that aren't recorded in the P&L. So this year, we're at $57,000 already. So you, $59,000. I'm saying that's not a real number. I see it as $76,000. And that's what I put in there. It's the number I think is the right number.
Well, we put a thermostat in that building up there, so that's supposed to cut down on the usage of that generator that we pay for in order to cool the building. So that should be a reduction.
Yeah, okay, but, you know, I'm not seeing a $15,000 difference. At any rate, I don't know if that'll work. I don't know if it'll save $5 or what. I'm putting in that amount because that's what I see is actual what I think it's going to be. You know. So I haven't added these up to see what the difference is. We're in the last little bunch here. Line 121, credit card discount fees, you know, $69,000 in 2019, worth $3,000 year to date, and you want to put in $24,000 for next year. I don't get it.
Yeah, we got a new software company called Allegiant. That should give us a significant savings there.
No, how does that affect the credit card discount fees?
It's a lower cost.
Cheaper provider.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense to anybody who knows this
stuff? It's a cheaper provider. They're just charging us less, so.
Does Allegiant do that credit card stuff? I thought they were just a software for a membership software.
No, they're more than that. They're also fundraising software and a bunch of things. It's really a whole complex of services.
Are they a financial? Do they offer these financial services?
That I'm not sure. Ken might know. He's on the call.
Yeah, somebody. because we weren't, I haven't heard that they are a financial service like Braintree. So anyway, I'm not seeing this, you know, this big cut in fees unless I see something in writing. So that means I didn't put a number in there, but I maybe look at that again before I send it out. Now, again, all of this direct mail, all of this major mailing stuff, I need it all in one place, and there's, you know, none of this sort of, I don't know what this is, and we're not tracking the mailings we're doing, and none of this postage is up here, or some is, but mostly it's not, and especially that's problematic in the premium shipping. Because it does not look like we're tracking what we're shipping out. And my understanding is that CPB considers premiums
$6,750. When we ship out premiums, that goes into 675003.
I understand that. I understand that. No, it doesn't. 6750 is premiums from other vendors. 6752 on line 136 is premium shipping and packaging. Year to date in premium shipping, year to date is 1,244. Okay? And it's all to Uline. So there's no shipping cost year to date in this premium shipping line item. This is something we seriously need to track. And I think that what's happening is people are just, you know, like putting money in the postage machine and not accounting for it. So we just have one lump sum under, I don't know, Pitney Bowes rental.
We are accounting for all the mail that gets put into the Pitney Bowes machine, okay? All the mail goes to the Pitney Bowes machine we accounted for. It's not slipping through the cracks or something's like arbitrarily being missed, okay?
There are zero shipping costs. There are zero shipping costs. If not, show me where it is, please. Because when I looked, I saw zero for 1244 line. Maybe I'm mistaken. Last year, NIDA has $4,503 for shipping. And you also spent like $283,000 of premiums, which isn't actually true, but did spend a significant chunk of money last year.
Why wouldn't it be true that you spent X amount of dollars in premiums?
Because there's a whole bunch of funky wonky expenses in there, like, you know, funky. I'll break them out for you. I'll break them out and I'll send them to you. This year and last year, there's a lot of funky wonky stuff in there. Premiums from other vendors this year to date, 151, is like $24,000, which I was like, ooh, that's not a premium. Doesn't go in there. And there was more in 2019. And there's even more in the fund drive expenses. Funky, wonky expenses. And, you know, it's clear that management realized around November or so that they were going to run into problems. And some of the excesses of 2019 were already being cut back. But, you know, we still have to compare real numbers to real numbers. Anyways. If you're going to send out, if you're going to put in a line item that you've got $280,000 of premiums, but you only spend $4 in shipping, it doesn't make sense. And if you say you have $151,000 year to date of premiums and you have zero shipping, this isn't working for me. Okay? And I think that CPB considers the cost of, you know, doing business as premiums plus shipping. I'm not sure. But if that's true, we certainly don't want to appear to be cheating on this particular line item. We need to be pretty scrupulous about this. Okay, for telemarketing 6721, I put in $20,000 because that's, you know, $18,000 year-to-date for tele rep. If you're running fund drives in July and August, it's obviously going to be higher. So that's something you and the GM need to work out, how many fund drive days you're going to have in the year, you know, upcoming year, and how much of your tele rep expense is going to be. And they would go in this line because it's fundraising expenses. It's not phone administration. It's their fundraising expenses and the store. That's all they do is facilitate, you know, our fund drives.
Colleen, is it a stack with a question?
Go ahead.
Barry, do you know about the new call center that supposedly we're working with now? I believe it's somewhere in the central time area, according to our GM. Do you know if how much they cost, if their costs are comparable to what we currently have or had? And also, along the same lines, I believe that we are paying the call center year round, even when we're not in fund drive, to take care of phone calls or donation calls that are coming in when nobody's there to pick up the phone. It goes to the call center. Is that correct?
Yeah, we are using a new company called A Better Answer, and they are, I think, in the Mountain Time. I think they're in Nebraska or somewhere like that there. But yeah, and y'all wanted to try them out in relation to Telerep. We have been using Telerep for a while, and they have been missing calls in the past, and we know we brought that to their attention, but they still seem to have some type of misguided way of answering the calls. There was a number of people that, you know, their calls got dropped off, so they didn't get connected to KPFK. So he wanted to try A Better Answer for the fund drive coming up on July 28th as a trial period to see how they work out. If it does, we'll use them, and we'll drop off Telerep. A Better Answer, as far as their cost goes, the cost is a little higher than Telerep. I believe Telerep is charging $1 per minute, and I think the Better Answer charges $1.10 a minute. So it's a little more expensive, and I think the setup fee is a little bit more expensive. So, again, we're going to try it out. They're going to try it out as a trial basis and see how it works out.
Thank you for that. And quickly, do you know if A Better Answer actually has bilingual staff on board? Because that's very important, especially at night when Spanish language programming.
Yes, they do. They have bilingual support.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, Barry. Well, I'm hoping that all of those expenses, the setup cost and all that, will go in line 132. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Line 133, development expenses, MEMSIS. So you have 15 in the for this year and previous years are blank. But I don't see any Allegiant costs yet. That should go in here, and you know, we're still use that, but all of those, that would come out of wherever else it was buried and go in there. But that's where I'm hoping we'll see the Allegiant charges going forward. All the setup costs,
development expense for renewal, line 133?
Yes.
Okay. Heads up, I just want to let you know that particular antenna that we pay for in Malibu is called Community Radio.
I think the tower rent, that's Mount Wilson.
You know, we pay antenna rent for community radio for Malibu.
Till then,
we have a whole bunch of antennas.
There's an antenna out there by Santa Barbara that we had, that we utilize for the people up there in north of L.A.
In order to get then there's no expense for tower rent. So then there's no expense for tower rent.
Kim, it depends on what you meant by tower.
For tower rent.
All these antennas distributed around the state can be regarded as towers. It's just a question whether we mean the... Well, the question is, tower rent, does it mean a single tower at Mount Palomar or Mount Wilson, or do we mean all of the various towers? We got one down near San Diego. We got them
exactly
all over the place.
I understand that, but the only expense under tower rent is community radio and the Palomar and other one, mobile relay. So I thought we actually paid rent at Mount Wilson. I guess we don't.
We pay rent for the United States of America's Forest Service.
So that's the $5,000. That's the rent.
Right.
The $5,000.
Right. Once
okay.
a year.
Okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
And we pay something for the Malibu rental, too. I remember that from before.
Yeah, community radio. That's, you know, I just broke down that I thought was Mount Wilson. Okay, so Malibu, Malibu. I can find it right now. I know it's there. I'm just not saying it. There it is.
Alan Beek,
paying,
I'm signing out of the call now.
Okay. All right, Alan. Thank you for being here.
This is Paulina. I also have to drop off. I apologize.
Yeah, we're about done. I mean, we're just about done. You know, just... off, you know, if anybody has any other, I want to know what Cajun costs are. Just get back there exactly what I don't understand them. You know, I don't understand these costs and why they're, you know, it goes from 43 down to 14,000. So I'd like clarity on that, and would you know, I'd like clarity on all this mailing stuff. Anybody have any final comments about any of this stuff? Oh, come on, people. Nobody? Anybody awake still?
Yeah, this
I'm
is
awake.
Dave.
And
no
I'm yeah.
Oh,
this is
everybody.
John. I'm awake. This is John. I'm awake, and I'm exhausted because for about 20 years now, the chart of accounts has made this an impossible task. And, Kim, you just want to get it clarified, but you don't want the Finance Committee to take a position the urgent need to get the chart of accounts turned into English. When Ephraim Herrera was our business manager, he had these spreadsheets annotated. So you could put this, for example, Barry, you'd like to hear this, I think. You could take your cursor on your spreadsheet, and you can move it to, say, line 34, and you can move it over onto the March column there, and a little pop-up window would appear, and it would tell you what was going on there. You'd have all that detail. So even though this chart of accounts was very hard to decipher, because the terms just don't even begin to be descriptive, then you could basically look in it to see what it was actually spent for. Well, since Ephraim went away, we lost that capability, and we don't have it. We could get it again. But really, the issue really needs to be taken to the National Finance Committee and to NIDA. We need charts of account, which makes sense. And it looks to me like we're never going to get it. And this committee doesn't have any impetus to get us to that. And so, frankly, it's just exhausting. So that's all I have to say.
Thanks. I heard other voices. Who?
Dave Johnson. Paulina, too.
Yeah, Paulina. Before?
Yeah, let's let Paulina go since she needs to go. Dave, is that okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very, very brief. it's about the comment I just heard. Now, Barry, would it that be a thing in if in say Excel that you know,
can you speak up? I cannot understand.
Oh, yeah, you're kind of garbled, Paulina.
Different day because I can't speak very loud.
Paulina, you're blocking. You're breaking up. Your call is dropping in and out.
Yeah. So I'll. I don't have a good connection.
It sounds better.
Okay, my question was, what we just heard, thing that Excel can do automatically. For instance, it's a view option where when you hover your cursor over a cell, it shows you, what you're looking at, so you don't have to keep scrolling, right, to see which line you're on. Maybe is that what I understand is being talked about here, or is it something else? Would it be actual annotation for each cell from somebody as opposed to just an automated function in the spreadsheet software you're using?
Should I answer that?
I'll answer that. I don't think Barry knows what it is. It was manually entered, Paulina, every month, the different expenses. Mm. And so, yeah, it's not automated, and it's way... I'm reading the general ledger, so I don't need it, but he would have to transcribe all that stuff into, to that. And,
Paulina, I brought it up. I mean, Kim, I brought it up, so can I address that for Paulina? Yeah. The thing is, it's basically, it's a mouse over thing. You roll your mouse over it. And if you let it sit there, a little window pops open, and you have a comment. You can be a fairly large comment, and you can have elaborations, annotations. And you can use the copy and paste thing, so you could put that comment into all. For example, some of these items like premiums from PRA, $833 a month. Well, you could have that in every single month, so there would be all the columns could have that one. Because you can use, you can just basically add it in as a feature all the way there. It's very useful when you're coming to a new spreadsheet of any kind of thing. You can look at it because it allows you to explore it. Because you look at these things, you say, oh, that's what it means. Too bad the topic heading in column B doesn't describe what's really in there. We go through this all the time.
Right. I see the usefulness of it. My question was more, how difficult is that to implement? And I think I got my answer, not so easy, not as easy as I thought it would be, just an automated thing. But anyways, I got around. Thank you.
I think it's easy.
Paulina,
I think it's easy.
Well, great, then. Let's figure it out. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Dave was next.
Well, I was just going to ask Barry and our chair when our next meeting would be and how long it would take him to make these adjustments like what we discussed tonight.
I didn't set another meeting,
probably the next finance committee meeting in August. Yeah, that was my question. In other words, when are we going to meet again, and does that give Barry enough time to go over this information? And then I had one other question.
Okay.
Well, the question was regarding some of these contractors, Barry.
Yeah.
And one of the guys, I think it's the same guy, Jonathan Wendell Cart. And then
Carmen.
There's somebody, yeah, C-A-R-T-E. And then another entry for Jonathan Carter, and then Jonathan Wendell Carn, C-A-R, actually that's an M. Are these all the same guy? Are they just
they're the same guy, the spelling was incorrect.
Yeah, and I mean, like Jonathan Wendell is like maybe the guy's on-air name or something, but is his legal name something different? Is it some kind of deal like that? Because one time
his name is Jonathan Wendell Carmen.
Yeah, because one time here there's Jonathan Carmen. In other words, there were a bunch of names that were similar but different. That was my question. sometimes he's one of the same. Johnson, Carter, Jonathan, Carmen, Jonathan Wendell, Carm, which I assume is an abbreviation. That was my question.
Yeah, he's just one of the same.
And another one, Manny Skiles, is it? Manny Skiles? We gave $200 to as a contractor. Who is Manny Skiles, and what does he do?
That's Rita's husband.
Okay.
Rita Nader's husband.
All right. So he came in and did something for $200. What was
right.
that regarding?
I think there was something related to the 60th anniversary fundraiser we had.
Oh, I see. Okay. And I was looking at. Go ahead, Kim.
Jay, you're falling out. You're falling out.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me? Is that better?
Yeah.
Sometimes when I get too close to my laptop reading, the cell phone gets crazy. Another question, Barry. Yawa event, is that the 60th anniversary?
That's correct. That is the event planner that we hired to do the 60th anniversary.
Well, we were told that was going to run us about $17,500, and the total amount that we've given Yawa events is more in the $20,000 range. So do we know? I mean, did Yawa charge us more money, or were there other fees? Or I just added up all these numbers to Yawa events, and they came up to be higher than the
speaker. Yeah, that's what we charged. Yawa events. The event planner, that's her name, charged that much money for the 60th anniversary.
Okay, so I just wanted to go on the record that we were told that was going to cost us $17,500, which was told to us by our general manager, and now I'm seeing these figures for the first time, and it's over $20,000. And I just wanted to make sure that was 60th anniversary.
Yeah, I saw her invoices come through, and That was for the event that she charged for.
Yeah, so we were not. So basically, we weren't given accurate information by the GM as to what her charges were going to be.
You have to take that up with Danielle. Talk to him.
No,
I mean, he's in with that.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just wanting to understand. I wanted to make sure that's what that was for. And then there's a few other ones, Kim. But I mean, we can save it for another time. It's kind of at the end of our meeting now.
Oh, this is great. I'd like to make an ending remark.
Okay.
Okay. I think you've done a good job of drilling down on all these things, which is good. And I think that all of the projects that are costing more in staff time and staff pay than they're bringing in income should be curtailed because they're running at a loss. For instance, the community events and also the grant, that seems to be running at a loss as well. It has to be figured out. Now, but I would like to say that the major way that the expenses are going to be reduced is with payroll reductions, obviously, because that's our largest expense. And there is going to be a special P&B meeting a week from tomorrow. There's going to be an open session and a closed session, and it's going to be mainly having to do with KPFK. So I believe that Daniel has been invited to be on that call with the board, and Barry, and Fred. So that's and anybody can listen, of course, on the stream to the open meeting. So that's a week from tomorrow night. Just wanted to alert you all.
That's the 30th? Grace, that's the 30th?
I think so. I'm not by a calendar.
I've got a calendar.
So,
tomorrow's the 23rd, so it must be the 30th.
That would be the place.
God. Sorry.
Can we deal with this after? That would be the place, Grace, for you to bring up the staff time relative to the revenue issues. I can't do anything about that. That's, you know, that's for you to deal with there. because it's not what we're doing here.
Right, but obviously, if you have income coming in and it takes staff to get the income,
I understand that concept. I'm not prepared to make that argument here. You know, I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers, you know, and you know, I hope you have these numbers to take to the PMB with you, you know. I just want to comment that the Mammy Styles for that, you know, worked on the gala and that gala are not in the, you know, in the event's expenses. So that jacks up those expenses even more when you pull them out of where they are, which is not, you know, one of them might be in community events, but they're spread out over other places, as I recall, like in consultants. And they should have gone into community events to get the true cost of that particular gala, which just went up by about, you know, $20,000. So these are, you know, that's why it's good to look at this stuff, you know, so we can get a real idea of what, you know, what's going on. So
Dave would like to comment about that.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, we've never seen a complete breakdown. And, I mean, you know, it's interesting that we find, oh, here's another contractor that was given some money towards the gala. And, oh, look at this. The event planner is now not charging $17,500. It was over $20,000. To the best of my knowledge, we've never actually seen any kind of cash flow, cash statement as to the expenses cost, a whole little miniature gala P&L. And, you know, that would be kind of nice to have. And the other thing is that on these extra documents we have that show office expenses and all kinds of things where there's companies called Alta Food Craft and there's tons of payback to the general manager and to others, we really need to stop doing this. We need to be issuing purchase orders for things so that it's not just paying back all these little individuals where they go into categories. It would take a long, long time to search through these and to look at the actual paper receipts if they're in the file somewhere. But, I mean, this is just not good business practice to have, like, $900 and $500 going to our general manager in round numbers, which I find to be alarming. And it's just something else that needs to be talked about and addressed. And it's to everyone from Christine Blaisdell to Margaret Prescott. And so at a time when we're trying to pull in our belt and stop spending money on things, this is a business practice that needs to be altered. There needs to be purchase orders issued for things so it can be more clearly done instead of just paying back staff and employees. That was all.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's one of the reasons why our audits cost so much, because they have to chase down all these invoices, and, you know, they kind of gave up and said, well, we can't make sense of these numbers, you know, somewhere along the line. I think that this is a part of it. And, you know, we don't know why certain staff people got $20,000 or $15,000, you know, but in various categories for doing what.
Can I interject here a little bit here? Some of those expenses that were for even numbers that were given to employees were some of the employees that had left the company or quit that were given severance pay. Okay?
No.
Like for Jerry right. Quickly.
There's
is
zero.
One.
No, no. There's zero in the severance account.
Mr. Shear, I forget his first name. I think his name is John Shear, was given some money for his severance. So
John Shear?
Yeah.
And who was the other one?
Jerry Quickly was given severance pay.
That was 3 years ago.
Well, I'm just
I'd like to interject something. I'm seeing lots and lots and lots of round numbers made out for, I can read them off right now without identifying the person they were paid to. And it's $760 even, $900 even, $880 even, $520 even. This doesn't sound like how you go to the store and have receipts where there'd be some change in there or there'd be an occasional dollar. This is $400 even. It's $900 even. We have contractors where we're paying $900, $400, $600. We have one guy that's been getting
Tony Bates' one. That's another guy that was paid.
But the other one we're talking about are skip people, Barry. They're not contractors. They're people who are getting all these payments. You know,
they have to issue a check reimbursement, and it has to be reviewed by three people before the check actually is written. Okay, so they're pretty. It's pretty legitimate. The expenditures that have been paid to some of the personnel at KPFK, they have to issue
a receipt. Okay, but what are staff people getting $20,000 outside of their payroll amounts for?
I've never written a check for $20,000 to an employee.
Well, they're not all one check, Barry. Then they add up. You add them up over a year.
That's right.
Like I said to you before, all the employees have to issue verified receipts, and then they get reviewed by three people before the check is written.
Yeah, that's fine. They're obviously going to get, approved. We don't know what these are for. Whatever. This is loosey-goosey. Purchase orders is probably a better way of doing business for items. We don't know what this stuff is for. It's a lot of money going out the back end. Just saying.
Yeah.
Why the staff Barry, the GM.
Barry, the point is we need to be able to look at this and review it and make it easy to do. And
it's set up to make it very hard
for us to do.
Wait a minute. You have a station inspection in which you came in and got three general ledgers for 2018, fiscal year 2018, 2019,
right.
And 2020.
Right.
You can dive
right
into the expenditures and see what all those expenditures are for.
Okay.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
Right, that's right. I added it all up and found out that, various employees were getting like $20,000, $15,000, $12,000.
Arbitrarily coming up with numbers. Name the employee, what they were for.
I'd like to
know the number out of their hat.
John into the queue. John into the queue. Kim, John into the queue.
Go ahead.
Barry, this is the point about the director's inspections. This is the tool of last resort. This is our tool for management. When management does not give us the reports that we need to give us the information, and we ask for that again and again and again, then we send the nuclear bomb. The nuclear bomb is the director who has the right to come in and see everything. This is not the way it should be for normal procedures. The Finance Committee needs to review this stuff in an easy-to-understand manner. And it's your job, working for Aniel, as has Aniel's business manager. Barry, just let me finish this thought here. I, as a member of the Finance Committee, need an easy-to-do way to do this. We should get this kind of information without having to even ask for it. It is your job, it is Aniel's job, to provide it to us. And when Aniel refuses to do it, then we have to get a director to come in and get it over his opposition. So Barry, you're missing
budget.
The point.
Wait. Can I speak now? You spoke now.
Okay? You've been talking for a long time. Let me make this point. This is a very fundamental point. Just let me finish the thought. So, sure. Now Lawrence has come in and got these things. Now it's easy to do for 2018, et cetera, up 19 to 2020. Should be coming to us for free every month. Just because it's easy to do a year at a time when the director comes in and gets it, it's not helpful.
Every month I would give you guys information regarding what the P&L was for the given month. You were given all that information. Every time we came to the finance meeting, I had documents to give you, okay? And then I also, even when the 60th anniversary gala, when that was all said and done, I gave you a spreadsheet as to show you what money was made, what money was spent. All that was given to you. You act like you don't, you have, that I don't give you anything. I give you information. I give you documents. But don't paint a picture that's not true.
Okay, so for example, suppose I choose an employee at random who's got payments above and beyond their salary of, let's say, $5,000. What report do I use to go look at, say, for example, last year? This is, we're in fiscal 2020 now. So in fiscal 2019, suppose I want to choose a person, employee number X. How do I go look at employee number X and get the details on all of the information that employee X got above and beyond his salaries?
Through that detail,
he's got $10,000. How do I
2019 through 2020? That's what you look at.
So
you look at what?
The fiscal year 2018 through 2020 general ledger that were given to you.
Okay,
well, that just came
look,
fairly
this
recently.
Is going nowhere. Can we please move on? This is going nowhere. You know, Barry's done what he's done. We've gotten what we got. Oh, there's no sense.
Kim,
we are where we are.
Okay, Kim.
I'm done.
Kim, it's now three hours since the beginning of the meeting. I think we need to move to adjourn.
What, Fred?
I'm saying it's 3 hours since the beginning of the meeting. I think we need to adjourn.
I understand. Yeah, I do too. I mean, I'm just asking for final comments and, I'll write this stuff up and, when's our next meeting? Whenever it is in August.
Third Wednesday in August.
No, it's the second.
Well, what if
second
we met?
Excuse me.
I was going to say, should we meet? Plan to meet a couple times in August.
It's August 12th.
Okay. So
I'm just saying, August, we meet on August 5th, and then meet on the 12th as well. It seems like we have a lot of work we haven't finished.
Well, I mean,
I agree with that.
Wait for a second draft of a budget. And there's not much we can do until we get a second draft of a budget, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's ask Barry if we could have one by August 5th, and if we could, let's have a meeting then, and then still have another meeting on the 12th. You know, schedule it
good
so
idea.
That we're within days. That's just my idea.
I second that idea.
The third Wednesday wouldn't be the 12th. It'd be the 19th, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I misspoke. We meet the second. Dave proposed we meet the first and the second.
That's correct. Wednesdays.
I'm going to wait until August 12th and, for a second draft budget. I mean, we're ahead of all the other stations at this point. So,
Dave, I move that we meet on August 5th and on August 12th. That's my motion.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. The third Wednesday is the 19th.
Yeah.
Not the 12th.
So how about the 5th and the 12th is what's being proposed.
We
Let me check
on,
the
we
calendar.
Meet on
see if
the, we meet on the second Wednesday of the month.
And I make a motion that we also meet next month on the 5th. That's why I move that. You don't need a motion you don't need to second a motion in the committee.
I would like to do that as well, John.
Okay. Call for the question.
Can we have a vote on that?
Sure. Well, Barry,
is there any objection?
Yeah, I have an objection. Let me see. Barry? Do you think you can get us a second draft by August 5th?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Well, actually, I would want it by August 3rd, so we have 2 days to look at it.
August 5th would be better for me.
Okay, then I don't want to meet until August 12th, because I need at least a day to go over this. That's,
Under that circumstance, that sounds reasonable.
Well, we meet on the 12th and then maybe meet again later in August if we need it.
Well,
yeah,
maybe we could.
Week after 19th. That.
Yeah, the 19th.
Or even the 20th. Just meeting on the 12th and getting a draft, August 5th. So we have, you know, like a week to look at it.
That sounds
good. That'd be good.
And
okay.
Plan on a meeting on the 19th.
What?
Schedule a meeting on the 19th so that we abide by the notice rules.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have plenty of time to set that up, you know.
Just that again like you've done before, Ken.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we get the second draft in our hand before anything, you know. So, okay, I'll write this stuff up and, you know, thanks all for hanging in. I mean, I know it's long and it's tedious, but, you know, it hasn't been done in a long time. And
Kim, may I be recognized? I move we adjourn.
Yes, yes.
I move we adjourn.
And, okay, any objections? Thank you all
Goodbye,
for attending.
All. Goodbye, all.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Barry.
Good job, Kim. See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.